What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studio here in the Capital Club in downtown Jackson, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. How you doing this morning, Dakota?
Incredible, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing great. Back at it after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Excited about
it. Feels good.
Yeah. Well, you want to introduce our guest to us?
I do. Today we have special guest Warren Watts, owner of RCC Roofing and Construction. Warren, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank y'all for having me here.
Absolutely.
Glad to have you, Warren. And let's tell our listeners about this view that we have here at the Capitol.
We have the best view in the Jackson Metro. Man, it's of the Capitol Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. We got panoramic views here. They have a new rooftop spot where we're recording right now, which is incredible. It's fantastic. What else do they have, Tyler?
I mean, they have events. So if you want to book a wedding, if you want to book just a party for your company, if you want to do it in style, you need to do it with the Capitol Club. Coolest place in Jackson. So... Well, Dakota, what are we sipping on this morning?
Today, Warren has brought us a bottle of Blue Note Crossroads. I'm excited. Looks like it was crafted in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee. That's right.
Good deal. So it's a straight bourbon whiskey. I think Blue Note has some other bourbons as well. Is that correct, Warren?
Yes, they have an actual Blue Note, and then they have a Juke joint, and this is their mid-price point right here.
Fantastic. Toasted French oak.
Yes.
So, Tyler, we'll see what you think of it. It's 100 proof, and it is crafted in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah.
See, when I tasted it, I thought it was a Spanish oak, but it's a French oak, huh?
Ah, were you getting a little hint of that?
Yeah, just a hair.
You didn't use enough tongue.
But, really good bourbon. I'm going to have to give it a 8.5.
So 8.5, that's smooth. A strong rating.
Yeah, very good bourbon. Well, Warren, we appreciate you coming on today. We always start this, so we like to get our for our listeners your background. So just tell us, you know, how you grew up, where you're from, and then how you got into the roofing business.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in a small town called Baldwin, Mississippi. It's the only one in America with a Y in it. It's had about 2,000 people in it. My dad had graduated from Ole Miss and then went to LSU banking school. And so he started a Sunburst Bank there. And then he opened one up in West Point in Monticello, Arkansas, and then actually left that and went to State Farm Insurance. And that's kind of my entrepreneurial spirit, you know, just my general knowledge of insurance, you know, came from. Grew up there, went to Northeast Community College on a jazz band scholarship. It's one reason why I brought Blue Note to kind of coincide with that. And I went to Ole Miss at the same time. I never enrolled, but, you know, I hung out there a lot. And I got into the restaurant business. I worked at O'Charlie's in Tupelo. And at 17, I wanted to wait tables because I saw these guys making money. And I actually lied on my application and said I was 18. They caught it. And the guy said, hey, you know, come back in January and you can have a job. So I went from that and I went to Outback. I actually opened up the Bonefish in Madison. It was the 55th one. I know it's been in some rumblings on the internet about it shutting down here lately, but it was great. That was a great organization to work for. We went and opened up the one on the coast twice because of Katrina. Katrina happened about 6 months after we opened up one on the coast. I left there and I worked for Guitar Center for a little while. I was an assistant store manager, got drugged back in the restaurant industry and opened up the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse where Kessler Prime is now. And during that time, my brother had gotten into the roofing business and met some guys from Texas. And I started helping them out because of my general knowledge for the insurance world. And then they couldn't believe that I could measure off a roof. And I was like, this is basic geometry, guys. You know, it's not that difficult, but you couldn't believe, you know. And that's one lost art that I think has come out in our industry with roofing schematics and stuff. Guys just don't know how to do the simple basic things anymore. But and while I was at Roost Chris and doing that, I joined a couple of bands, you know, played around for a little while. And then I saw that, you know, I'm probably not going to be a rock star. And, so I came back and, I asked my, buddy for a full-time job. I said, hey, I think I really want to do this for a while. And, just started in on it. We actually had a couple of hailstorms and I've, been doing it ever since. I've been out on my own with RCC for about 10 years now.
Congratulations. Wow. What instrument did you play in jazz band?
Guitar.
Guitar.
I played guitar. Yeah, we did. Stairway to Heaven was a big hit we played. We did a Santana song as well.
Okay. Fantastic.
Well, how did you get, I guess, the interest come for the jazz band and the playing guitar? Where did that come from?
Well, my uncle was actually the band director there at Northeast. Okay. And I just met some guys there that had a thing called a Campus Country I tried out for. And I was walking by and the jazz band was going on. And I was like, you know what? I've listened to some Wes Montgomery. Blues was a big thing. That's how I grew up. My dad and my grandparents, they lived in Memphis. So we would go down to Beale Street. When I was 12 years old, my dad took me to an Eric Clapton concert and I was hooked. I was like, that's what I want. And so he was like, well, you get all A's, I'll get you a guitar for Christmas.
There you go.
And so then got me a guitar, wore it out, got me another one, and that's the one I still play today. I've had it ever since about 98.
Man, what a cool story. Well, what would you say is the current national state of storm damage claims, insurance, et cetera?
Well, you know, it looks like election season after hail hits in a neighborhood. Now,
yeah.
Everybody's putting their sign out. You know, there's several of us that have been around for years. But there's actually some things going on, like, Farm Bureau has gone to ACV only on policies. That means you don't get your second depreciation check or the, replacement cost value of it. You're only going to get that first check minus your deductible and that's it. So it's really making the homeowners put a lot of skin in the game now. There's actually some legislation coming out that wants to do away with a roofing contractor negotiating for the policyholder anymore. So we're trying to combat some of that. You know, some of it's good, but like this week alone, we had three people call us that, you know, an adjuster said that there was no damage and we went out there and there clearly was. I mean, there was missing shingles. You know, the roof is like 15 years old. It was leaking. And so, you know, that's my company is a full transparency company. We use a app called Company Cam. And, when we get up on the roof, we actually bring it down to the homeowner. We, take photos and they are instantly uploaded to the cloud. And we've already got the homeowner's phone number by the time we get there. So we send that link to them and they can see everything we're seeing on their roof.
Do you think some of that missed information, like from the adjuster, is due to them trying to take more efficient measures by like sending drones and things like that out to try to, you know, photograph aerial photos of a roof and they're like, yeah, you know, I don't see any damage. It's not a big deal, even though nobody's even been out there.
Yeah, some of it is. And I'm not here to bash adjusters,
sure, sure.
You know, or anything like that. But some of it's just like, you know, like I'm talking about newbie roofers. It's all about education, you know, experience in it. You know, because even in the hailstorms we've had the last couple of years, some roofs I've done twice in 2 years.
Wow.
And that damage did not show up the first couple of days. But I had been through the hailstorm in 2013 when, you know, it was from Vicksburg to Puckett. Mm-hmm. And it was baseballs. And some of that stuff, it's so out of the ordinary, you don't know what to look for. Again, I had a chef that I worked for one time. He said, you're either green and growing or brown and dying. And I took that as always be learning, always be a student, and not only learn from your mistakes, but other people's mistakes. And so I've every adjuster I ever meet, I'm like, hey, how do you do it? You know, especially a senior adjuster. And I tell my guys when they're up there with them, you know, ask them questions, you know, because we're always learning and trying to find new things and new ways to discover damage. You know?
That's super important in business, too, especially from an ownership standpoint. If the owner of the business is no longer wanting to learn and wanting to grow personally and in the business, then, I mean, you're set for failure at that point.
Yes. Once you think you know it all, you don't know anything.
Yeah, and I think that's, like Dakota said, a major key for success for anybody is that, number one, that you put the effort in to figure something out. Most people stop when it requires effort.
Yes, yes.
And then the other thing is, you know, that you're not scared to try new things. Like you went from the restaurant industry to roofing.
Right.
Two totally different things.
Right.
But, Guitar Center was in there too.
Right. Yeah, Guitar Center too.
Yes.
But if
yes.
you're willing to put, you know, the work in and you're willing to be a student, learn things that it's, you know, there's nothing in this world that you can't do. For the most part, if you're willing to put the work in.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of people, especially, like, I love when a server wants a job with me because they already have customer service at the forefront, you know. One of my guys is an ex-financial advisor, you know. I was eating lunch with my wife one day, and, you know, they were talking about it. I said, yeah, he's doing really well. And I said, well, you know his problem. She was like, what? And I was like, look at him. He'll go over there, make a phone call, get up and walk around. I said, he's stuck behind a desk.
Yeah.
This guy needs a truck, some business cards, and door hangers. And sure enough, that guy's one of my top producers now.
Yeah. You got to play to your people's strengths, you know?
That's right. That's right. And if you are looking to pivot in business, just pick certain aspects and go with it. You know, your faith will get you through, you know. Put your faith in God and go.
That's a good word.
And that brings me back to a point of, the woman in, it's, Matthew 9:20-22. I saw this the other day. She was ill for 12 years and she, knew if she could reach out and just touch Jesus, she would be healed. And before she actually got to touch him, Jesus turned around and said, woman, know that because of your faith, you were healed. Your faith will get you through, and then God will give you the vision.
Yeah, it wasn't magic. Right. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, what would you tell our listeners that say they're listening and say that maybe they are in a career that they're wanting to make a move, maybe go out on their own, start their own business like you? What advice would you give them leading up to that to make that transition?
Work on yourself. Definitely look inward, work on yourself. You know, Jim Rohn? He said that. And, you know, ever since I do that, I had a professor in college one time. He said, I'm going to push the top person in the class to bring everybody with you, you know, and that's kind of the mentality I have. Like, I don't run a roofing company or a contracting company. We're more like, athletes, and I'm like a coach, you know. I want you to be a better as a person, you to be a better father, you know, just anything like that. That's what I would do.
And I think that's such a key thing for being successful, to be a successful person, that, you know, you're not judging yourself based off of everybody else.
No,
you know,
that is the worst thing you can do.
I'm not looking at everybody else saying, hey, I'm doing better than this person, so I'm doing well. No, am I doing better than I did yesterday?
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's, you know, when we are gauging ourselves on success, you know, what can we do to improve ourselves on a daily basis? And you got to take the other people out of the equation, because that's not, it's not, in my opinion, what you should be judging yourself.
Yes,
on.
There's several other roofers in town. Like, I talk to them almost on a daily basis. You're not in competition with other people. You're in competition with yourself to be a better person every day. And that's, you know, and it really helps, because we collaborate. We know if there's a new adjuster in town, or if there's a new product coming out, or hey, I've figured out how to do flashing this way, you know, and it just betters everybody in the process.
And it's funny, you know, we kind of go down that road, because most of the time when you talk to people that have failed, the blame usually always sits with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I failed because of this person or that mm-hmm. person. You know, they never take the time to say, okay, well, I failed because I didn't put the work in.
It's that victim mindset, yeah. Dude.
And if you can remove that from your mindset, that you can become a very successful person.
Yes, and always realize Elon Musk slept on the production floor, you know. I mean, it takes hard work and dedication, you know. I mean, I remember calling my wife in 2020 when I was still a solopreneur, and it was just so difficult. I was almost in tears. I was like, you know, nothing's going right. We have all this COVID stuff going on. You know, my crew's, you know, not acting right, and it was just so difficult. But your faith will get it through it. And remember that everybody's been through tough times. You're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody sees the success, or what appears to be success. And think, you know, we live in this microwave culture that everything's supposed to be instant.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
You know, nothing in life that's worth having is typically instant.
Yes. So. And the whole, the comment of it must be nice. Like, you never saw the struggle. You never saw the late mm-hmm. nights, you know, me doing supplements and stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, yeah. That's it. And another thing, if you're looking to pivot and you have a family, spend time with them. You know, I'm a Mason, and one of the first things they teach you, I'm not fixing to give out the secrets of Freemasonry here, but
please do.
We need to talk later.
This will trend.
I've always had questions.
But what it is, they teach you to divide your day into three, because three is a big number in Masonry, right? With the 33rd degree. But it's 8 hours for your family, 8 hours for your vocation, and 8 hours for rest. And as soon as a guy said that to me, I was like, I never thought about it like that. There is plenty of time in a day, you know? And I remember my little girl, she was doing something, my first child, and I missed it. It was either she took her first steps or something, and I was over there drilling away at a supplement or something like that, and I was like, never again. So, like, I have a cutoff time, and then I might pick it back up later, but, you know, the evenings are for my children and my wife.
Yeah, setting those hard boundaries for your life is something you have to do as a founder. There's so many people that have burned out. Mm-hmm. Because they can't shut it off.
That's right.
Or they've lost their families because they can't shut it off.
Yeah.
But being able to recognize that pattern and say, I'm going to stop this here before it gets bad, you know, before something irreversible happens.
Yeah. Money is great, but family is everything.
Yeah.
That's all you're guaranteed in this world.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, I think one of the biggest problems that we have is people waste most of their day on social media.
Yes.
Or on their phones, you know.
Looking at what other people are doing.
Right, when they're supposed to be productive. I mean, I would love to see the data on how much time is probably wasted on a phone.
Honestly, I wouldn't.
Probably don't want to see the data.
You know,
when Facebook was down this past week, I bet that's the most productive day we've had in America in the past however many years.
Joking. When started. Cell phones went down, you know, their first test run before Election Day, you know.
it's funny, though, that the culture we live in, the time we live in now, that there's so many things that pull at your time, and we've almost adopted them as like, this is life and this is how it is.
Exactly.
When we could just set the phone down and get something done.
I saw a statistic the other day that said like 60-70% of Gen Z are nearsighted now. And that's, when you think about it, that's the first generation that grew up from birth with a smartphone in their hand.
Another thing you'll see is childhood myopathy, where they're holding their iPads too close to their face or anything. You're fixing to see that trend come up.
That's crazy. And you know we're at a crossroads when kids want to watch YouTube videos of other kids playing with toys rather than play with them themselves.
Yes. That's another hard boundary I set with my family. Like, hey, let's get over here and play.
That's tough, though, man, because if everybody's doing it, that peer pressure aspect is really tough to not give into. We were at a conference the other night at Fondren. It was a marriage workshop, and it was fantastic. And one question from the audience was, how are you countercultural in a world that like pushes you and your kids to do things that everybody else is doing, like it's six or seven different sports, you know, for one child? Like, there's just not enough time. And the speaker, Raymond, answered it, and he said, you know, well, are you happy with the culture? And she said, no. He said, then be countercultural.
That's it.
It was like a very simple answer. It's not an easy thing to do, but I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and I love that I was born in 85, so I remember pre-internet America, and I remember dial-up, you know, like, and, you know, I was somebody, especially like Steve Martin from The Jerk. I had my own phone line because that was our internet phone line, and it was my my name, and I thought I was something, you know. But that's the key, is just cut it off, you know, get outside, you know. Gary Brecka says to ground yourself, go outside without your shoes on, you know. Think about the last time you did that. I thought about it, and I was like, man, I haven't done that in a while, you know. And as a kid, I could run across rocks, you know, growing up in small town Mississippi. It's what we did.
Well, and it's wild what it does for your, you know, soul, your mindset and everything, just to go sit outside, turn your phone off, listen to the noises that are out there. Maybe not if you're in downtown Jackson. You got, you know, car horns honking and stuff like that.
Go find a tree and stare at it.
But if you're out, you know, get out in the country and like take that in.
I
think that we've lost that to a point.
No, it does increase your dopamine levels in your brain when you go out and like look at nature, just see things that are green and different colors and stuff. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it does, and more people need to do it. They really do.
Well, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
Absolutely. Blue Note Crossroads, straight bourbon whiskey, toasted French oak. This is fantastic. This is a really good bourbon.
I'm telling you, somebody turned me on to it, and it's been one of my go-tos.
It's very, very good. It's got a nice-looking bottle to it as well. There's a guy with a guitar on the bottle for the Blue Note, for the Memphis vibes there. Tyler, you're at 8.5. I could taste the smoothness of it. It still has the bite of a bourbon, and it's also got a little bit of a sweetness aftertaste, which you don't necessarily get a whole lot in bourbon. You'll get a sweetness on the front, but not the after. I'm going to land at a 9.0. This is delicious.
9.1.
I'm going to make Tyler do some hard math today.
I appreciate it. Well, Warren, one thing, you know, kind of a buzzword now in America, solar energy and those type things. And I know that, you know, in the roofing industry, that's something that's coming into the roofing industry.
We
are starting to see some solar panels on houses and businesses around mm-hmm. there. What's the outlook on like that, on that? And, you know, I guess how good does it work?
The biggest problem with solar energy right now is, and electric cars and all that, is the batteries. You know, storing that energy up, a day like we've had this week with rain, things like that, you don't get any useful effect from it, you know. And so that's mainly where it is. There is some benefit to it, you know, but the big thing is our state hasn't quite gotten there on the rebates and things like that. There is some federal rebates you can do and get in on. But with solar, they're really trying. The manufacturing process is still not quite there for a full scale operation. Now GAF has a timberline shingle that actually lays into the shingle. It doesn't stand up like your traditional solar panel does. So I think you'll see more and more of those, but even that, it's a plant that's made out in California. And that shingle is made just for your house. So let's say something does happen.
Sounds
something
expensive.
Something damaged that shingle. Well, you can't run to Lowe's. Mm-hmm. You can't just call any roofer to come or handyman and fix those couple of shingles. You will have to get them remade again. And so that's kind of where we're at with it. You know, I don't really push the solar roofing too hard because of that. But there is some benefit to it.
What do you think about like the Tesla roof? Have you seen that one?
Yes. Did you know that Meridian, Mississippi was the beta market for the Tesla roof?
I did not.
There's a neighborhood over there. Yes.
Shout out Meridian.
Just a shout out to Meridian. There's a couple of guys that are doing it. But again, I mean, you've got to spend $30,000-$40,000 as a roofing owner just to be certified to put that on. There's only a few crews that can teach you how to do it. You have to bring them in, house them, and it takes a couple of months. Then you have to have the job already lined up. And, you know, it's kind of like learning on the job site.
I mean, with extreme weather and stuff, though, how do those hold up? You know, I'm thinking
about the manufacturing
about,
like, of them is really well.
Is it?
I mean, it's really good. And
I'm
we
thinking
have
about like Canada and stuff, you know, where they get like -30, -40 degrees sometimes, mm-hmm. and it's snow and
again,
and
that
ice
affects
and,
the batteries.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
what
that's,
I'm thinking.
That's the whole deal.
Well, in Mississippi, we probably have some of the worst weather from a roofing standpoint.
Oh yeah,
with
tree limbs and stuff getting thrown at.
Yes, we did a roof a couple months ago, and a lady called me. She had water pouring her house, and we had literally finished the roof. I think 3 days prior, we had a wind event, limb right through it. Brand new roof. I'm talking about. I had redecked the thing and everything.
Golly,
I felt so bad.
yeah, that's tough.
Can't have nothing.
What are some of the biggest challenges right now for new and existing residential claims, national trends, that kind of stuff?
A lot of things are some of the big movements in the residential roofing industry is moving from insurance restoration to more of a retail model. And a lot of people in Mississippi are just, you know, well, if I don't get a roof this time, I'll just wait till the next storm. Well, you might have come up for renewal by then, and then you'll have a 1-5% deductible. Or another big thing that I can't believe is slipping through, these things are called RPSs. They're roof payment schedules. And what that means is if you have a 15-year-old asphalt shingle roof, the insurance company is only responsible for 42% of that roof. So if it's a 50 square roof and you're quoted $20,000, well, you're only going to get around $10,000 for that. Well, then they're going to take out, hopefully you don't have a 1% deductible, but let's say you have a $2,500 deductible. Well, you're only going to get a check for $8,500, and then you're going to have 180 days to put that roof on, or you're up for cancellation. And it's an ACV policy disguised as an RCV policy.
Wow.
And so if you're on a mortgage, you know, big mortgage is not happy about that, because if you have to come out of pocket $12,000, what's the first thing you're not going to pay?
Yeah.
Your mortgage. You know, you're going to keep the lights the on and everything else, yeah. You know? And so some of those have slipped in. Watch out for that in your policies.
That sounds like a old school life insurance policy being sold as a whole life when it wasn't. It was universal or something.
Yes. Yeah. It's a trick that they've slipped in.
Yeah,
there,
that's
you know?
Tough. But are there any regulations coming out against that? That you've seen?
No, not really. You know, I mean, they've slipped them in. It's past the ISO, you know, so we do have them here. Yeah. But it's definitely, and that's one thing we do whenever we start going down the path of, yes, you have damage, we need to look at is we will get a deck page or declarations page, and we'll go through there and see what all you have. You know, a lot of people, I ran into it out at the reservoir a lot this past year. They had cosmetic hail exclusions. So if you had a metal roof that was dinged up, we had to prove that it impeded the flow of water, or you just had a dinged up roof, or let's say siding or your front porch columns or front door, that's all cosmetic. It didn't really damage it. And so you were out of pocket to fix that.
Wow.
You know, and then your HOA will come out at you and, you know.
Well, you're in insurance.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing over there, man?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is you need to know your agent. A lot of these people are going now and buying things online. That's where you run into a lot of these coverage situations. Not always, but a lot of the times.
That is. Get with your agent.
Get with your agent.
Know your agent.
Talk to, have a local agent, someone you can talk to, and help walk you through the process. And ask them questions where they can educate you on how the policy pays on a claim and stuff like that. So when you do have the claim, because you're going to have one eventually, how that works.
Yeah, and if you have your insurance company going, hey, I can save you $1,500 a year, there's some way they're doing that,
right.
You know, and they'll say, oh, it's a $1,000 deductible, but for wind and hail, fire event, right. Anything like that, it's a 2-5% deductible of your insured value. So if you're insured for $500,000 and you've got a 1% deductible, you're at $5,000.
You should not shop your insurance based off of price. Price is important. But you should really shop it off. Is this an agent that I trust? Someone that I want to do business with?
Because yes. When it hits the fan,
right.
You got to have somebody you can
right.
call. So. And who are you going to call? Are you going to trust that person? Are you
going to
trust No. No, exactly.
And if you're looking for somebody, if you're listening to this and say, hey, I don't have a person.
Here we go.
Give me a call.
Give me your number, Tyler.
Why not? Insurance Protection Specialist. You can find us on Google. Well, Warren, give us, you know, I know y'all are doing roofing. I know y'all do some other things. What mm-hmm. other services do y'all offer at RCC?
Yeah, so I've really started pushing more diversification because I am growing my team more. We've gotten a lot more into remodels and just general home maintenance, you know. A lot of people call, they'll have some siding that has just fallen. It's not really worth a whole claim, you know. Decks. We've done a lot of decks. You know, it's springtime now, so anything like that. Additions, you know, porch additions. We can do that. We have a residential builder's license, so anything from the ground up, please give us a call. Another good thing that's going on now, a lot of people don't realize, is the windows and doors tax credit you can get. You actually get up to $600 per year until 2033. So if you did it this year, you could get $5,400 just for your windows. And then you can do, if you replace your front door, you can get $5,400 in tax credits up until 2033. Yeah. Now I'm not a tax guy, but you know, consult with your CPA, but yes, that tax credit is out there right now.
Just write on your return. Warren told me.
That's right. Just write it on there. And it was second by Tyler.
If this is wrong, the dudes you are looking for are.
Yeah. Yes, that is right. Right.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate you coming on today. Give us your thoughts on the bourbon.
I really like it. This bourbon, you know, it might be the buzz you get from it later, but it almost has like a vanilla flavor to it after a while, after a few sips. But any of the blue notes, I suggest to go pick them up. I would definitely give it a 9.0.
9.0. What's that math looking like, Tyler?
Well, we're going to land at a 8.8 for today. How's
okay.
that sound?
All right.
So
yeah,
I was a little generous, but you know, it's good.
So you're not going to be a roofer and do the geometry and
you wouldn't want me doing it. We'd buy too many squares. So we always like to take this time, tell our listeners that are listening, say maybe they say, hey, I've got possibly some roof damage or need some things built around the house. What is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, please give us a call. Everything's a free evaluation. You can find us at RankinCountyCustom.com or give us a call at 601-540-7754.
Great. Well, we appreciate you coming on today.
Thank y'all so much
for
having me.
And to all our listeners, however you stream this podcast, would you please go in and give us a rating and then follow us on social media, and we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.